This is Brother Gino, and I hope each and every one of you are doing well. I want to thank you for joining me again for the Pastor Study. It's a blessing to be with you. And we're going to continue our study we've been doing through the book of 1 Corinthians. Last time we had started to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. And in this chapter, there's 13 verses. What Paul discusses here is eating things offered to idols. Eating things offered to idols. And so far we've covered, we saw in verses 1 to 3 in 1 Corinthians 8, it talks about our liberty based on our knowledge and charity. Amen. And then we want to pick up and see that Paul dealt with how people should make the decision whether to eat things offered to idols. In verses 4 to 6 of 1 Corinthians 8, we see here it talks about our decision based on knowledge. A decision based on knowledge. So let's read together in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 to 6. And the Word of God has to say, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So we could easily eat things sacrificed to idols because we know the following. First of all, that an idol is nothing. An idol is nothing. In the book of Psalms 115, verses 4 to 8, the words of Almighty God have this to say. There are idols of silver and gold. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. So we clearly see that an idol is nothing, absolutely nothing. The second thing we know is that there is only one God. There is only one God. In Isaiah chapter 43, in verses 10 through 11, the Word of God had this to say. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So, the second thing we know is that there is only one God. And then we also know there are many that are called gods in heaven. There are many that are called gods in heaven. First and Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Word of God says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see the god of this world, and we know that is Satan. Amen. The god of this world is Satan. And then in Job chapter 2, in verse 1, Job 2:1, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So we see the term sons of God. So then we know that there are many gods called in heaven. And not only that, there are many that are called gods in earth. In Psalm 82, verse 6, Psalm 82, verse 6, the Word of God says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. So we see then also, there are many that are called gods in earth. In John chapter 10, verse 34, John 10, 34, the Word of God says, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Amen. Another thing we know is this, and we've been talking here about making the decision whether to eat things offered to idol or not. In verses 4 to 6 in 1 Corinthians 8, we see that Paul tells us our decision is based on our knowledge. And we could easily eat things sacrificed to idols because we know, we saw that an idol is nothing. There is only one God. There are many that are called gods in heaven, many that are called gods on earth. Another thing we know, that to us, there is one God, the Father. There is one God, the Father. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 16, the Word of God tells us, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then also we want to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, in verses 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. The words of God tell us this. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Amen. And then finally, we know that there is only one Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is only one Lord Jesus Christ. And in First Epistle of John, in chapter 5, in verse number 20, the Word of God says this, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. So we know all these things. Amen. Therefore, if we were to eat something that had been sacrificed to an idol, it's nothing. It's just another piece of meat. Amen. The fact that it was offered to an idol changed nothing. Now, the next thing we want to look at in verse 7 to 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is their decision based on their lack of knowledge. Their decision based on their lack of knowledge. Let's look at our 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 to 8. The Word of God says, howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commended us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. So some people don't know what we know about idols, and that there's nothing to them at all. People who have worshipped idols are steeped in superstition. They believe their sacrifice is a propitiation. That's why we say people make the decision whether to eat meat off an idol based on their lack of knowledge. But we have the knowledge. We know that an idol is nothing. They believe that through sacrifice and obeyance, they gain favor with the gods. Therefore, after they get saved, they believe that if they eat something that has been offered to an idol, they are doing wrong. So here we see that here are those individuals that were steeped in the practice of eating meat offered to idols before they got saved. And they believe that they worship these idols. They believe the sacrifice was a propitiation, amen, and a payment in some ways for their sins. And that they believe through their sacrifice and their obedience to this idol, they gain favor with the quote-unquote gods. So they get saved now. After they get saved, they still believe that if they eat something that has been offered to an idol, they're doing wrong. Amen. And so, if they were to eat, their conscience would be defiled. They would feel and be guilty. See, even though they're saved now, and an idol is nothing, they're still going back to what they did before. And now that they're saved, they see in their conscience that the practice is wrong in eating meat offered to idols. In idolatry, they were used to gaining favor with gods by eating the sacrifice and losing favor with the gods if they didn't. However, with the Lord God, the Word of God tells us, meat commendeth us not to God. Whether we eat or whether we don't eat meat, amen, offered to gods, has no effect on our relationship with God. In other words, we're not better off with God if we eat it, and we're not worse off with Him if we don't eat it. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 8:8. It's nothing. The bottom line, it's nothing to God. Now, the next thing we want to see is their decision based on our knowledge. Their decision based on our knowledge. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 again. And let's read together. Verses 9 through 12, 1 Corinthians 8, verses 9 through 12, the Word of God has this to say. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. So, what we read here is because we know that eating in an idol's temple or eating something offered to idols is not a sin, We know that we have the liberty to do these things. However, our liberty can be a stumbling block to them that are weak. Remember, we talked about those who practice sacrifice to idols and ate meat offered to idols and thought by doing this, it commended them to their idol in some way, and he looked upon them with favor. But now they're saved, and they, in their conscience, they believe it's wrong. It defiles them. So now here we have someone that comes along that knows that eating meat offered to an idol is absolutely nothing and means nothing to God. However, their liberty can be a stumbling block to them that are weak. See, if a weaker brother sees us eating in the idol's temple, he might be emboldened to eat those things that are offered to idols, which his conscience believes is wrong. Yet after he eats, he's going to feel very guilty and ashamed of his decision. He's going to perish, not in the sense of going to hell, but in the sense of defiling his conscience. He's done something that he believes is wrong, so it's wrong. Amen. Here's an example that can illustrate this truth. You have a liberty to sit in a bar and drink a beer, for instance. While you're in the bar, a brother who has sworn off alcohol sees you in there drinking a beer. He thinks, well, if it's okay for him to drink a beer, I guess it's okay for me to have a beer too. So he goes in based on your liberty and has a beer. When he walks out, his conscience will beat him to death because he had sworn off alcohol. He made this decision that was wrong for him based on thy knowledge. You're a stumbling block. Amen. And again, that's just a way of an illustration to bring out this truth that we're talking about. Christians, period, should have nothing to do with alcohol. Amen. Now, acting alone, your decision to eat something offered to an idol isn't a sin. But if your liberty emboldens a weak brother to stumble and wound his weak conscience, you are no longer at liberty. When ye sin so against the brethren, as it says in the Word of God, you sin against Christ. You do not have the liberty to sin. So if you eating that meat offered to idols, here in the Word of God, even though an idol is nothing and eating meat offered to idol does nothing, amen, means nothing to God, amen. But if you have someone who believes it's wrong to do it, another person who's weak, is not mature in the things of the Lord, and he sees you doing it, and he believes it's wrong, he sees you doing it, amen, and it causes him to do it, it's going to defile his, he's going to be beat up, amen, his conscience, and believe that he's been defiled. So if it does that, we don't have, even though we have the liberty, we don't have the liberty to sin, to cause the weaker brother and sister to stumble. Amen. Now we want to look at, finally, our decision based on our charity, our decision based on our charity. Let's look at the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. The Word of God says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother too offend. So Paul concluded this chapter by saying that though eating meat sacrificed to idols was not a sin for him, he would not eat it if it would make my brother to offend. And because he could not be sure when he might be a stumbling block to others, he decided to limit his liberty. He decided he would never knowingly eat meat sacrificed to idols. As in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 27 to 29, the Word of God says, "And if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience?" Amen. He said, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Amen. By this statement, he was commending the same limit of liberty to the Corinthians. Amen. Consistent with the decree of the council in Acts chapter 15, verses 20. Amen. The Word of God says in Acts 15, 20, "But that which we write unto them, that they abstain from the pollution of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood." This is what the Council of Jerusalem got together. There was a big discussion because some were saying that the Gentiles had to go back under the Mosaic law, be circumcised, under all those dietary restrictions. So then we had Paul and we had Peter speak up and say, no, the Gentiles like us are saved by grace through faith and nothing else. So they said, they wrote a letter, gave to Paul and Barnabas as they went out on the missionary journey, to say these are the things that you need to abstain from, to the Gentiles, from pollution of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Amen. And then finally, in Romans chapter 14, verses 20 to 21, the Word of God says this, "For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Amen. So there we have Paul as he deals with the subject with the Corinthian church, again, on eating things offered to idols. Amen. So now we're going to head over and begin looking at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and there are 27 verses in this chapter. Amen. What Paul is discussing in this chapter is his ministry. Paul's ministry is being discussed here. Amen. And Paul describes his ministry to the Corinthians to explain why he did what he did in the ministry. So we want to notice these aspects of Paul's ministry. The first one we want to look at is Paul's apostleship. Paul's apostleship. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ the Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So Paul was the apostle by the will of God. Amen. Paul was an apostle by the word of God. In Galatians chapter 1, in verse 1, the word of God says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Amen. And he was free, and that his only master was Christ. He says he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 15, 8, the word of God says, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. And of course, these are the words of Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the Corinthians were his work. The Corinthians were his work. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, the word of God says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So they were his work. Those were his converts. And also that, and his signs of apostle had been wrought among the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, the word of God says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Amen. So while some among the Corinthians might have disputed the power and apostleship of Paul, there was no, absolutely no doubt about it. Amen. There was no doubt about it, because Paul was an apostle by the will of God. He was free. His only master was Christ. He had seen the risen Lord. Amen. And he won those to the Lord in Corinth to the Lord. The Corinth were his work. Amen. And the signs of apostle had been worked among the Corinthians. So there's no doubt about it. Amen. Although some of the Corinthians might have disputed his power and apostleship, there was no, absolutely no doubt about it. We're going to stop there for today. And I hope you join me next time as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. Till we meet again, my prayer is God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.